Good morning. This is 2SER 107.3, and we're just listening to Final Draft. This is The Vulture's Nest. I'm Sean Morihan, your host this morning. And joining me in the nest this morning is my nest guest, David Polterek. G'day, David.
G'day, Sean. And great to be here.
Yeah, welcome back into the nest.
Thank you.
We were looking at a few of the news stories of the week, and what we do each week here in the Vulture's Nest is we grab a couple of the stories from the week's news and culture, usually some heavy-hearted ones, and we try and take a light-hearted approach to them. However, the first story this morning, I wouldn't even say it's heavy-hearted. It's light-hearted, it's fair-hearted, it's, what else?
Romantic.
Yeah, it's outright romantic. Depending on your definition of romance, I suppose. This story comes from New York, and it's only a couple of days old. One woman has decided to take a democratic approach to her own wedding, and she's asking strangers to vote on all the different aspects of her wedding, from the budget to the dessert to the dress, not necessarily in that order. So Jen Giants, she's 31, and she's engaged, and she actually works as a professional bridesmaid. You and I were discussing this before the program, David, and...
Yeah. An odd occupation, I didn't
trying to work out what a professional bridesmaid
must
is.
Work weekends.
So she hires herself out to brides for their big day. So from that experience, I mean, imagine some people, particularly if they're away from friends and family, maybe they do want someone there for emotional support. But she's got a whole lot of expertise about weddings as well. She's got a whole lot of contacts. I wonder if she's on a spotter's fee for that sort of advice too. Here's the photographer I'd recommend. Here's the cake maker I'd recommend.
Yes.
Here's the car hire I'd recommend.
Yeah, the possibilities for corruption are endless.
Yeah, the florist.
She's taken the Las Vegas thing sort of a bit further, isn't it? I mean, strangers turn up to a chapel, an Elvis chapel, and there's two old folks sitting there who are their witnesses who get paid $10 or something.
Yeah. So she might be charging more than $10 as a professional bridesmaid.
If she's a professional.
Yeah. So her bio says that she's attended more than 30 weddings in a year. So that's a fairly big commitment.
Yeah. I think I've done one in 30 years. My own.
Yeah, high five. I'm not much of a wedding goer. For a long time, I just didn't even go to weddings. So I was like, oh, I'm busy that day. When is it? I'm busy.
So you'd strictly be an amateur bridesmaid.
Yeah, long distance. I'll provide the long distance emotional support. In fact, for one friend who got married very early, I was flabbergasted when he told me he was getting... And when I say very early, he was very young and his bride was very young.
Younger.
Yes. Yeah.
I got it. I can see it.
And... I was sort of a bit surprised and I'd say, like, what are you doing? And they hadn't lived together or anything. I think they were both each other's first relationship.
Wow.
So it was all they had been together. You know, by recollection, I think it was a short period of time. It might have been less than a year. So I thought, ooh, okay.
Did the parents look happy on the day?
His dad had passed away and I think her parents were... They knew their daughter. They were happy for her to make her own decisions.
How long did it last? Not the wedding.
about 3 years. I won't tell you how it fell apart either. It was absolutely horrible. And I didn't take any joy at feeling vindicated, you know, that I've sort of called it. But I guess I was a little happy that I was there for him when it broke up. He didn't go to any of the other people who had been there for the wedding.
Right. You weren't one of these people. That reminds me, I've got a friend who was thrown out of a friend's wedding because he was going around telling everyone, I give it a year.
No, you don't turn... Yeah, that's having an each-way bet, turning up and drinking their wine and eating their food.
Looking forward to the next one.
And casting the shadow of gloom on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, and I know there are some family members who consider it a serious responsibility to do that sort of thing, but, you know, I wasn't family.
Nah.
I do remember his mum even rang me and pleaded with me to come because they needed more people on their side of the church. And I thought, that's not a reason.
Is that how, I mean, look, I'm so unfamiliar with the routine, but that's kind of how it works. Is it like grooms... people one side and brides on the other, so it's a strict demarcation thing.
I think, there's the marketing of it, and, you know, the whole "yes, we're all individuals" type of wedding that that has sort of evolved over the last 50 years. Yes, the bride's side. There's the bride's side and the groom's side in the church or in the service.
Gee, you don't want to get that wrong, do you? I hate to be sitting on the wrong side.
Oh, look, if you're going to get steely glares from, you know, somebody's parents or parents-in-law, I'd say get it done early before the reception.
Yeah.
Don't leave it to the reception to peek.
You know. Move up the back. But back to Jen.
Yeah. So she's basically put out an invitation that anybody can go and vote, and all these different aspects. Now, when I first saw this, I got a bit excited. I thought we could get in there and suggest that she wear a, you know, a Godzilla outfit,
yeah,
for the wedding, or you know, that the groom gets a mohawk or something like that.
One of them has to drop by parachute.
Yes. So you could have unlimited fun with this, but. No. Jen pulled the plug on that pretty early. It's all multiple choice.
I was thinking exactly the same thing, and then I thought, no. Like, she's given, you know, is my dress this long, that long, or a little bit longer? You know, is it this colour? And so she'd give you the colours, and, you know, there'd be menu choices, and, you know, no room for creativity or invention.
Yes.
Or nuisance, being a nuisance.
Yeah. So she's got a website. It's called Finally the Bride. So you can Google that if you want to get in and on the action and vote as well.
She hasn't actually done, you know, tied the knot, as it were, yet?
No. It sort of leads up a little bit. I'm not going to...
Okay.
There's a little bit of a conclusion to this story, but I'm not going to deliver that until the conclusion.
Okay. I've paid for the whole secret. I'm only using the edge of it.
That's right. And the reason that she claims that she did this was because, as being a professional bridesmaid, she was overwhelmed. She was confused. She just didn't want to make all those choices. She was used to making them for somebody else, and so she didn't want to make them for herself.
That's ironic, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
In the proper sense of the word, not the coincidental sense. Coincidental sense that Alanis Morissette uses it. It's funny. I mean, I guess it's possibly part of the marketing too. I mean, it raises her profile as a professional bridesmaid.
Yes, that's a very good point. And so the wedding budget, for example, like people could vote as to how much you should spend on a wedding, and they chose the budget of between $15,000 and $30,000 US. They decided that she should not write letters to her exes to tell them of her engagement.
Who does that?
I think that was a bit of a Dorothy Dix question she put in. I know my mate didn't when he got married.
He didn't tell his exes?
No, because he didn't have any exes.
Oh, great. That was his first, yeah.
There's 30 different polls live on the website at the moment. It's finallythebride.com. Is the website. Traditions the couple should keep, so-called traditions. I'm very sceptical about what gets called tradition in weddings.
What, something borrowed, something blue, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, or even the whole ring thing, the white dress, the, you know.
The cans on the back of the car's bumper.
The help me written on the bottom of the groom's shoes. let's see, what other traditions did they mention? Oh, which state of America the couple should be married in, whether they should read vows.
Oh, so there was actually an option for where she would do it.
Yes.
Hopefully kind of adjacent states.
Well, again, it's multiple choice, so...
What options? She's in Florida. She's not going to put California or Michigan, presumably.
No, unless she gets enough people following this to maybe crowdfund it.
Yeah.
Which could be an idea because I think you can see where we're heading with this.
Yeah.
They could vote. People can vote on whether she should have fancy food and what they should serve for dessert. What type of expert they should see, like a counsellor, therapist or a psychic. Whether they should have a photo booth. Assigned seats and a cocktail hour. They can choose on how much she spends on her dress, whether she has a bridal shower. That one's just a yes or no, although the no is worded no, something along the lines of no, bridal showers are lame and silly.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I think she's sort of trying to...
I think she's trying to steer people into
that one. She is, yeah. Whether the bridesmaids wear matching dresses.
Oh, that's always a nice look.
Yeah. So she says she genuinely doesn't have a preference. And she said that she is totally happy with other people calling the shots. So putting it out there in the hands of strangers has made me calm because it's right for me.
Oh, well, good luck to her. Yeah. I can only imagine that there's going to be media there.
Well, getting to the conclusion, she's publishing a book on her website, chapter by chapter, of this whole thing, where she's documenting how the public's decisions have implemented her life. And I imagine if, you know, we're probably adding the fuel to the fire here, as, you know, you and I volunteers, we're perhaps not professional media savvy people. We get sucked in here every week on the Vulture's Nest and report stories like this, and often that's probably just what they want us to do, is just spread this story even further, get a few more visitors to their website, increase their Instagram following, and then sell it all a little bit, you know, a little bit more.
So we're just part of the campaign.
I think so.
We've been sucked
in. Like New Idea.
Yeah.
We're on that level. Although I've got to say, we're not paying for it.
That's true.
We're not paying to report it. So, you know, no cash for comments here.
No cash for comments, but she does get some advantage. There's a whole lot of people in Australia now that know all about it that didn't know before.
Yep, that's right.
I wonder how many.
Yes. So I'm sure perhaps if she becomes a celebrity, I hope that she will say that, you know, the usual celebrity thing is that we reserve the right for our privacy to be sold to the highest bidder. Just thinking of the multiple choice thing, though, David, is there anything that you would do, that you would put up to multiple choice, whether it's important or mock important in your life, is there an event that you would leave open to the public to vote on to decide?
Gee. The only one I could think of would be my funeral. Because I just wouldn't have to worry about the consequences, and provided it didn't, it would be within a nominated budget. I'd just be happy for the majority to have their way, according to the poll.
The public, or just your friends and family?
Oh, the public.
Oh, no, that's very generous of you. Yeah. Very publicly spirited.
Yeah. Well, I'd set up a website. Yeah, you know, myfuneral.com.
Okay. That might already be gone, or, you know, one of our listeners might be registering it even as we speak. So don't mention any other of your actual domain names.
Myfuneral.com.au.
Okay. Yeah. You and I both work in comedy.
Yeah.
Could you see it working in comedy? For a comedy show, could we have an audience vote on what type of show we're going to do?
Which jokes we'll do tonight?
Yeah, or maybe which topics we're going to cover.
Which topics, yeah. Well, that'd test us, wouldn't it?
Well, during Sydney Fringe this year, we did a show all about the internet.
That's right.
And all the comedians who participated in it, including yourself, all come up, either modified or come up with new material specifically about the internet. So it was a mock instructional about how to use the internet.
Yeah.
So we've got that. I know a lot of us have got jokes about relationships. We've got jokes about technology. We've got jokes about work. We've got jokes about, what else? Traffic. You've got a few about some common food items.
it's an interesting thought. I mean, it would be a challenge, provided we had enough lead time. But then I guess, that's the way improv works. I mean, you know, the theatre sports idea that, you know, you get a topic at that point when you're on stage, or just prior to, a minute before.
Yes.
And you make it up as you go along.
Okay. Yeah. I was suggesting even further that, you know, we've got established things. So even with Jen's wedding, she wasn't taking recommendations that people say that she would create a new type of wedding dress out of, you know, twigs and leaves. It was, you know, there were some fairly established choices.
Right.
So same with us. We would still want to deliver a quality product at the end.
Yeah.
It'd be topics that we know that everybody in our, you know, in our comedy community group has got material on already.
That's true.
Give the audience the choice, you know, out of the 20 or so topics that we do cover regularly.
Oh, okay, so we're not coming up with new stuff on the spot.
No, not necessarily. I mean, I guess that could be an option, but I was thinking more of limiting it to what we've got.
Getting
new audience to choose.
Yeah.
And then on the night, perhaps as well, they choose the running order. They choose which comedians go on first. Second, third?
How much each gets paid?
Oh, that's one where you bring your friends to sit in the audience.
Yeah.
And perhaps even, depending on who goes well, who they choose to do an encore.
Oh, yeah, competitive.
Yeah.
The options are, well, they're intriguing.
Yes.
And perhaps one day we'll do it. You don't know this woman, do you? You're sounding very familiar with her, calling her Jen.
Oh, I feel like I know her.
You feel like you know her?
Yeah, when I took the poll, it said, you know, do you feel like you know Jen or do you not feel like you know Jen? I went, oh, yeah, I'll tick that. I feel like I know Jen.
Okay, you can just call her Jen then.
Yeah. You are listening to 2SER, and this is The Vulture's Nest, and we've been discussing the woman in New York who's basically putting out to the public to vote on a whole lot of different aspects of her wedding. So she's asking for votes on her website, which is finallythebride.com, get people to help her to choose. She's a bit overwhelmed with the choices, so she's asking for the general public's help to decide what she does for her wedding. She'll be making all those decisions and then selling them back to you in a book.
And she's got over 100,000 votes so far.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I think as a result of our program, you can maybe double that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here on 2SER, we do stories, we do ideas, and we do music. We've got another story or two to share with you. But before we do, it sounds like Jen is dancing in the public eye. So we're going to listen to a track called Dancing in the Public Eye by Frankie Cosmos. See what I did there? You're on 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music. And if you really love me, you will leave me alone. I wanna go dancing.
We're living longer than ever with increasing needs to maintain health, wealth and wellness. To share information on these topics, the Chamber of Commerce CBD Sydney have organised Helping You and Your Family Age Well, a seminar from 5:30pm on November 21 at Clarence Chambers, 133 Castle Ray Street, Sydney. Join us to discuss ideas and options for you, your business and especially older members of your family. To register for a free ticket, email info@2ser.com or call 9514 9514.
The Japanese Film Festival returns with the best in new Japanese cinema. Become housemates with Jesus and Buddha in St. Young Men's Second Century or discover Okinawan rituals in Born, Bone, Born. No matter the film, you're sure to gain a new perspective on Japanese cinema. Screening November 14th to 24th at Event Cinemas George Street. See the full program at JapaneseFilmFestival.net. Sponsors of 2SER.
You're on 2SER 107.3, and this is The Vulture's Nest with Sean and David this morning. If you've just joined us in the first part of the program, we talked about Jen from New York, who has a website where you can vote on all the different choices about her wedding. And she agrees to be bound by what the public votes. The votes are limited for safety, so if you wanted to get hilariously creative, I'm afraid your options are limited there. Another story that jumped out of the news this week got our attention. made me question, have you ever known a friend who's, you know, who hogs the drugs, who, you know, acts like a bit of a pig when they're on drugs, maybe? And the reason I say that is in Italy, there are some pigs who have found and destroyed $22,000 worth of cocaine. So a stash of cocaine was hidden by a gang in an Italian forest and, you know, probably left there for a little bit of time between pickups, and it was found by just some wild boars. They basically consumed the cocaine.
Were they just normal boars before they found the cocaine, and then after the cocaine they became wild?
Do you know what? This article doesn't say that. So I for one, think you should be writing these sort of articles in future, David. We should refer to the Newsweek in this case is our source for this, although there were plenty of news outlets that picked up this story this week. So, the law enforcement probe, which spanned a while, over a year, discovered that the gang members were allegedly distributing drugs via a nightclub in the city of Arezzo in Italy. And so they basically had already been under the watchful eye of the police. And the scheme was, you know, funneling drugs through a supply channel and into various provinces. So it was a regular business, but it was not immediately known to the drug runners. They were being listened to by the police, and that's how the police actually discovered that this had happened, because one of the drug runners was reporting to another one that they'd lost all their drugs of this particular shipment because of the pigs. So, well, the wild pigs. Yeah. I don't think that was a derogatory term for the police.
And, well, I mean, they're going on hearsay, aren't they?
They are.
I mean, did he witness the... I presume he must have seen them. This criminal must have seen the wild boars attacking his stash or running away from it or dancing wildly in the forest.
Yes, it's funny that every story I saw of this was accompanied by pictures of wild boars, but none of them sort of specifically said that these are the wild boars who did it. So it was, you know, they were the alleged wild boars.
The alleged wild boars, yeah. A boar very similar to this one. Well, I mean, it, you know, wild boars, they're pigs, and pigs are meant to be very intelligent. And so this is a skill, a heretofore unknown skill of the pig,
yes,
the pig family. And this is perhaps law enforcement officials will take a cue from this and employ pigs much as they do to find truffles.
Well, it's funny, I was just thinking that about the truffles as well. It'd be interesting too, it didn't say whether they had bacon or for breakfast the next day.
Yeah.
And if the bacon tasted a little unusual.
Yeah. I mean, and there's been all this talk lately here about the problem of police and sniffer dogs at festivals and public events. I mean, maybe it should be police and sniffer pigs. Get rid of the dogs. If the dogs are a problem, get pigs. And it sort of fits.
So when teenagers go, look out, here come the pigs.
Here come the pigs.
They're talking about the porcine creatures.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's a catch-all term.
Okay.
Well, the other thing, I mean, what I found particularly shocking about this story was that it was the explosion in the wild boar population in Italy, which has doubled to 2 million in the last several years, and that apparently annually there are 10,000 road accidents caused by wild boars.
Do they drug test the wild boars after the accidents?
Well, I wonder, because, look, it's difficult enough for drug-affected humans to drive a car. I mean, how hard must it be for a wild boar who's high on cocaine? No wonder they're all crashing.
Is it time for a remake of Babe in the City?
Or Razorback, yeah, I don't know. Pick your favourite pig movie.
Well, you mentioned festivals, and one other little story that tied in a little bit with this was a Good Samaritan story at a wine festival. There was a woman who discovered a stranger's driving license inside a public toilet and retrieved it, washed it, and returned it to its owner. The kind woman named Linda, no last name provided, went to the gourmet feast in Swan Valley, northeast of Perth, last weekend, and she spotted something in the bowl before sitting down. I think that's a good idea at a festival, to look before
Just
you sit.
Look in the bowl first.
So I don't know if she had a moment of not realising what it was. I don't know how quickly the recognition came that it was a licence or something worth retrieving.
Possibly because it was a gourmet festival, she had just that little bit more confidence that it would be, you know, any effluent would be quality.
Yes.
So that, you know, she felt a bit more...
Do you think she might have consumed some wild boar before she made this discovery?
Or some cocaine.
I think that's what I was alluding to, but anyway. Look, the grateful owner of the wallet shared a photo of the note that came from Linda S. from Ellenbrook. The note said, "Fully washed now, returning, so you don't worry." And the grateful owner said, "Would love to thank this lady for returning my license. I didn't even realise it was missing until yesterday." That sounds like quite the festival.
It does, and it raises the question: how does one's license get into the toilet? What are you doing?
Okay, well, you and I both, you know, we've been around a few decades now. Can I ask you, David? Have you ever accidentally dropped something important into the toilet that you know of?
I really don't think I have. I've reached into a toilet. I've cleaned a bowl. I'm sort of, you know, it's something that horrifies my kids to think that a hand has actually gone into a toilet bowl.
Right.
But it's you know, having changed nappies and things like that, I think I've broken through that threshold.
Yes.
Of disgustingness, and it's no longer an issue. But you know, it reminds me. There's a great story of when before Marlon Brando was a star, he met Tennessee Williams, and I think this was about. Tennessee Williams had casting approval for the first Broadway performance of A Streetcar Named Desire.
Right.
And Tennessee was living in some, let's call it a shithole, and the toilet had backed up something horribly. And Marlon Brando turned up, and without blinking, Tennessee must have mentioned it to him. "Look, if you want to go to the toilet, Marlon, while you're here, I wouldn't bother because it's, you know, it's backed up." Marlon just, you know, rolled up his sleeve, reached down, unclogged the toilet, washed his hands. Now, where were you, Tennessee? And got the part.
Wow. Got the part.
Got the part. Got the part.
And secured the position in the play as well.
And got the role in the play.
Oh, that's fantastic. What a story.
Go, Marlon.
Yeah. I think I can't recall specifically what I've dropped, but I know I have dropped something in before, and it horrified me so much that, and I think it was in a hotel room. So part of my ritual now is when I go into a hotel room, I always make sure the lid's down.
When you go into the, sorry, when you...
I had something bounce off the sink into the toilet.
I see.
In a poorly designed hotel room once. I had something just nudge off the edge of the sink and into the toilet bowl.
Yes.
And went, never letting that happen again. It might have been a toothbrush or something.
Yeah, that rings a bell, actually, something bouncing into the bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, a dunk. It's a dunk, isn't it?
Yeah. And so I thought, okay, that's it. So my ritual now, if I go into a hotel room, you know.
Right.
You know, part of my ritual, you know, steal all the tea bags.
Yep.
The robes.
Yep.
Make
sure the toilet roll's been folded over.
Was it Henny Goodman who said, you know, I love this hotel. The towels were so fluffy I could hardly close my suitcase.
Of course, they will charge you for that now.
That's right, yeah.
Those were the days.
That's right. So part of that ritual, yeah, jumping up and down on the bed.
What does that do?
Test the mattress.
In case you need to jump up and down on the bed.
Cover the smoke detectors, so in case you smoke later on, it doesn't go off. No, I don't do that. I'm not a smoker. But I've checked into hotel rooms where the smoke detector has been covered with tape by the previous occupant. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
God.
But that's what I do, is I make sure the lid's down.
Yeah, that's very sensible. Yeah. Very sensible, Sean.
Yeah. So... you are on the Vulture's Nest. We've been discussing a few stories from the news of the week. So we hope that your lids all stay closed until they need to be open, and that you get all the worthwhile advice you need about weddings, including whether to have one or not. Thank you very much to my guest in the nest today, David Polterak.
Thank you, Sean. It was a pleasure.
Stay tuned. Coming up on 2SER, we've got the best in arts, theatre, music and pop culture, all things creative in So Hot Right Now with Nicole. That's only a minute or so away, so we're just going to take a little bit of Day to Night by DJ Yoda Presents Breakfast of Char. You're on 2SER 107.3, stories, ideas, music.
Yo, yeah, we bring it into you, listen up, sound check, bound step, big moves, bound to cause a proper lyric on the tune. Chill it if you're not with it, no pressure. Send vivid images among men and women with song. I'm sort of like Picasso with the mic,